morning, good morning, good morning. Great morning. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to News with My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. This morning, Ambush is flying solo. Why did I just do third party? Why did I just talk to some third person? I'm not sure why I did that. Today, I'm flying solo, guys. MJ is down. For those faithful listeners of the show, I'm sure you know what happened. Yes. Oh, man. It's been a rough week. It's been a rough week for my fiance. It's been a rough week for your fiance. Barometric pressures and all types of other external triggers going wild with the migraine. So, again, major shout out to everyone suffering through migraines, dealing with that affliction. And, hey, man, let's have some conversations around filing for disability. Because when it gets this bad, can you actually work? I don't see it. But good morning, everyone. Definitely, if you're listening, you know, text in some well wishes to MJ. She'll definitely see him a little bit later. And Kyle will make sure that we get them in the description for the episode. But yes, it's been an incredible week so far, especially in the news cycle. But locally, there have been some really cool things going on. Had the chance to go to the Cinescene, I believe it's pronounced Cinescene, event last night at Hollywood Theater, put on by OMPA and Open Signal and YGP Portland. Really, really dope event with it was a film screening basically of a bunch of short films from local directors and writers and producers. See if I can find, can't find the link. There was a link, I had the link for a little form that I could use to review all the films last night. It was really dope. There were some really good standout ones. The Winemaker, it had like a sci-fi, a really well executed sci-fi storyline. So, you know, that's going to pique me every single time. The Last Vampire in Portland was interesting. There was a short documentary about Coach Stoudemire over at Jefferson High School, which is really dope too. So, yeah, man. Whenever OMPA has one of these, definitely make sure you beeline to the next one. It was really, really dope. It was super fresh, super duper fresh. Oh, man. So, double checking the airwaves. Looks good here. Looks like I'm broadcasting. Looks like people can hear me. Definitely check in, fiancés. Like I said, MJ will not be here today. She is definitely dealing with a migraine. She is migrained down, which is never cool. Never, never cool. She had a slight one during Monday night's show, but was able to soldier through. Not so much today. All right, so what do we have in stories? In local news, Western Oregon loses minority-serving grants after federal cancellation. No surprise there, right? Different changes that have been happening at Department of Education under Linda McMahon has just been wow. We talked about some of the funding that got shifted around on Monday at the national level dealing with the HBCUs. And how they were taking money from other minority-centered organizations and institutes of education. And now this is, you know, what's happening here locally with some of the colleges here. Now, on national news, ABC, I'm sure you've heard by now, suspends Jimmy Kimmel Live after host remarks on Charlie Kirk's murder. And if you've seen the remarks, you would see that I don't even know what the big deal is, whether you're a Kirk fan or not, you know, especially when that side is always talking about freedom of speech and, you know, not being canceled and all of that. Like when you see what Jimmy Kimmel said, if you haven't yet, again, these networks are just cowering to Trump every second they get, every opportunity that pops up. They don't want to get sued. It's a whole situation, bro. Whole situation. And the other national story, Governor Hochul in New York finally endorses Mamdani for New York City mayor. After party pressure, I don't know. I don't know how much pressure you need to do the right thing or the obvious thing. He's leading in the polls almost like at 46% of the electorate wants him in. So it's like, what are we talking about? How can you not endorse? Thank you, AJ. Hi, and healing vibes to Morgan. Thank you. I'll make sure she knows. Shelly Shell. Good morning and justice. Justice for Morgan. Yeah, man. Let you guys on the inside a little bit. It has been getting serious. It's been getting serious with these migraines. Seriously, seriously debilitating for our MJ. We're definitely going to be exploring some other solutions, you know, trying to figure it out. Thank you, AJ, for the things that you've been sending our way and the advice you've been sending our way. And also other people that are dealing with migraines, the app. Michelle, that you got MJ on, that thing has been super, super helpful for her. Super. So definitely thank you for that. But yeah, we got some other homies out there. Talking about, you know, different things like psilocybin. Like, we got to figure some stuff out. We got to figure some stuff out, man. This is, I already used the word debilitating, but I can't think of a better word. Like, MJ just can't do what she wants to do. She can't do what she needs to do. Quality of life definitely deteriorates when dealing with migraines of this magnitude, especially when they last for days. So, yeah, not ideal. Thank you, John. Good morning, Amber. Sending healing energy to Migraine Jones. She's actually working on the t-shirt design. Specifically around the migraines. So looking forward to sharing that with you guys. But yeah, let me see here. Okay, cool. I think I can jump into this first story. Yeah, let's jump into this first story. All right, so Western Oregon loses minority serving grants after federal cancellation. Western Oregon University made headlines this spring as the state's first public university designated a Hispanic serving institution, a federal recognition given to colleges where at least 25% of their students identify as Hispanic or Latino. But just months later, the school has learned it will not receive any of the federal grants typically tied to the designation. The U.S. Department of Education announced last week that it is canceling $350 million in grants for minority-serving institutions nationwide, arguing the programs discriminate by limiting eligibility to schools meeting specific minority enrollment thresholds. The funding cut affects not only WOU, but also institutions serving Alaska Native, Native Hawaiian, Black, Asian American, Pacific Islander, and Native American students. WOU spokesperson Maureen Brake says the university had not yet received any funding under the designation because it was so recent, but the cancellation still represents a major lost opportunity. The loss of HSI programs and the opportunity to apply for grants related to this will not change the high-quality student service we provide to our entire student body, Brake said, noting that more than half of WOU students are the first in their families to attend college. Higher education advocates have sharply criticized the move. A 2024 report by the State Higher Education Executive Officers Association highlighted that minority-serving institutions have a track record of being engines of upward mobility, lifting students from lower-income backgrounds at higher rates than other colleges. Federal grants for Hispanic-serving institutions typically fund programs aimed at boosting retention and graduation rates. Portland State University's Oregon's first Asian American and Pacific Islander serving institution is also losing out. The university said the education department canceled the remainder of its $1.9 million grant. It canceled the remainder of the grant. That is wild. which is being paid out in installments. PSU spokesperson Caddy Swordfisk confirmed the school is scrambling to find new funding to sustain programs that had already begun. Betty Izumi, who oversees PSU's grant-funded projects, said the money it supported hiring a Pacific Islander study scholar, and launching a support program for first-generation Pacific Islander students. These initiatives empowered our Pacific Islander and Asian American students and had a positive impact on our entire campus community, Izumi said. We remain committed to our mission of serving students and fostering equitable opportunities through education and community building. So, this is wild. It's wild in a way that there are these things that are happening that are both, oh yeah, well sure, of course Trump's doing that. But at the same time, you're like, wait, what? Like, what do we, what? This is so backwards. There are so many other places you should be taking money from. Definitely not education. But to be removing funds like this from institutions that are prioritizing or at least creating pathways for minority groups to get a leg up, or just even in, you know, level out the playing field, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear what they're trying to do here. But what I won't even say trying, because they've been very successful at it. It's pretty clear what they're doing, and it is disgusting. I think in so many cases, when we see these things happening, especially at the federal level, we're left to scramble and try to figure out what to do. And I would probably urge everyone to revisit Project 2025. Because they've stuck with the playbook. There are no surprises. They haven't veered. What they said they were going to do is what they've been doing. So I think it's high time for us to go back to that training manual, the playbook there, and start figuring out how to prepare for some of the changes that are coming up. Again, this guy hasn't hit a year yet. He hasn't hit a year yet. And I think I saw somewhere we're like 46% through Project 2025 within the first under a year. So we gotta figure this out. How does this work? Right now, Institutes of Higher Education, it's part of the American game plan, right? You get your good grades in high school, get yourself into a good college, go get yourself a good paying job. That American dream isn't as clear as it used to be. People outright are like, this just isn't the move. So we got to figure out some alternatives. Definitely got to figure out some alternatives. I remember how I felt like really, really proud being able to get, you know, watching Kaylin go off to college. It was just like, we did it. It wasn't just an accomplishment for her. It was an accomplishment for us as a parent. And I'm sure there are many listeners with kids that are in college right now that can relate. Yeah, got them off. Did my job. Great. So when it was time for Bree to go and graduated, you know, excellent scores, she got accepted into a study abroad program. But then Bree was like, you know, I want to push it back. I want to push it back, you know, one semester. And it was like, whoa, what are we doing here? Initially, right? It's like, are we sure we still want to go? You know, and my father, when last he was here, came out with my mom for Kaylin's graduation, he had a conversation with Bree about college. And he asked her, you know, are you sure you even want to go? Which to me, I mean, this is granddad talk. To me, that was not an option. I was the firstborn immigrant household. Oh, you're going to college. You're going to college. You're going for medicine, law, somewhere in the sciences. You're going to college. Not an option. Not an option. So it was interesting to see him extend that option to Bree. And it felt really good. I was like, oh, wow. So she could not go and that'd be okay. Cool. So all that to say, maybe we need to start figuring out some alternatives here. A lot of the reasons why people are going to college is so you can have that diploma and secure that job. But what if, you know, What are the other pathways for people to get the education that they need outside the traditional systems? Because it's under attack, flat out. It's under attack. And it's just the beginning. It really is just the beginning. Again, I think it'd be a really, really good idea for us to revisit Project 2025 and figure out what the entire game plan is and do a little bit more prep for that. Because, yeah, this is definitely, definitely not what's up. We're going to go ahead and step into a music break and catch you guys on the other side of that. All right. Y'all caught me. A little back-to-back funk. Summer Madness by Kool and the Gang with that old Never Too Much by Luther Vandross right afterwards. Shout out to everybody texting in. Again, I am solo today. MJ is down migraine station. She's not down for the count. Matt, thank you, says at 2:30 a.m. I shot out of bed like a rocket because I couldn't sleep. I had this problem. Then after a couple of hours, thankfully, I had to go to work. Womp. When I got home, I got caught up reading a Goosebumps, Say Cheese and Die. I'm still ain't right. News of my fiance is helping me pull through, though. Thanks for holding it down, Ambush. I hope MJ feels better. Matt, I too can relate, and I'm sure many others can. Some of those times when you wake up, you know, I'm a diabetic. Sometimes I got to get up a couple of times throughout the middle of the night, you know. But there's a couple of those times when if it's too close to your wake up time, like it's 2 or 3 hours out from your wake up time, it is a struggle to get back to bed. Like, and then you're just laying there. 10 minutes has passed, and an hour's passed. And now it's an hour and a half, and you're just shaking your fist at the heavens. Nothing is worse than that. Nothing is worse than that. Matt, I hope you can catch up on some of that rest, bro. Nightmare. Nightmare. Absolute nightmare. Dibs, just woke up. Love that Diodato tune. Great way to start the day. With news of my fiance, Dibs. Thanks, Dibs. Yeah. We're getting like 2 songs per music break now. Just because that's where we are this morning. That's just where we are. If you missed anything so far, the only story I covered was the funding being removed from minority-focused organizations, colleges here in Portland. Western Oregon University being that school, nasty work. So the question I asked was, you know, what are some alternatives? And I'm sure there's some out there. What's the alternative playbook that we should be steering our kids towards right now, knowing that paying for college is mad expensive, bro? Mad expensive. And funding that would help, you know, minority groups is being removed. So, you know, what do we do? How do we navigate this? What are some ideas behind that? Behind how we fix this. So, yeah, that's that on that. Let me do the station ID. You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And then Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. So yeah, y'all, any ideas on that? What should we be thinking about? How should we be trying to figure this out? Harp on that a little bit while I get into this next story. Woo! ABC suspends Jimmy Kimmel Live after host remarks on Charlie Kirk's murder. The Disney-owned ABC has suspended Jimmy Kimmel Live indefinitely following backlash over the host's comments about the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Prosecutors have charged 22-year-old Tyler Robinson with Kirk's murder during a September 10 event at Utah Valley University. Robinson, who surrendered after a day after a two-day manhunt, is accused of shooting Kirk for his political views. The controversy erupted after Kimmel's Monday monologue, in which he accused the MAGA gang of exploiting the tragedy of for political gain. He mocked former President Donald Trump's response to Kirk's death, comparing it to how a four-year-old mourns a goldfish. Kimmel's remarks drew sharp criticism from conservatives, who said the comedian had wrongly suggested the suspected killer was a Trump supporter before authorities confirmed Robinson had leaned left politically in recent years. On Wednesday, Brendan Carr, chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, said there was a very serious case for action against Kimmel and ABC, citing broadcasters' obligation to operate in the public interest. Nexstar, which owns several ABC affiliates, dropped the show from its schedule before ABC formally announced a suspension, calling Kimmel's comments offensive and insensitive at a critical time in our national political discourse. Trump praised the suspension, declaring on social media platform on his social media platform that the ratings challenged show had been finally canceled. He also took aim at fellow late night hosts like Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers, calling them losers with horrible ratings. The episode echoed Trump's earlier celebration of CBS's cancellation of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, which the network attributed to financial pressures. Kimmel, one of late night television's most recognizable figures, has hosted his ABC program since 2003. Known for blending comedy with political commentary, he's become a frequent critic of Trump. His contract with ABC is set to expire within a year, raising questions about whether the suspension could mark the end of his two-decade run on the network. For now, ABC has not announced when or if the show will return. So, I'm not a big Jimmy Kimmel fan in the way of, I'm not a huge late night fan. I'd want to watch Fallon more for the roots, but yeah, just not a late night TV, broadcast TV fan. It's just not my thing. And it hasn't been for a while. But some of the monologues that I've caught from Jimmy, and also some of the guests he's had on the show, like, yeah, he does seize the moment. Jimmy definitely seizes the moment to make a point, usually something I'm in the line with. So I've liked Jimmy. He's landed on the right side of the fence for me. Seeing this cancellation, seeing that his show's been taken off the air for what he said, when there was no, like, again, like, they call everybody snowflakes, but they're so sensitive. The sensitivity is at an all-time high with them. Don't say anything bad about anyone over here, or we'll sue your network, basically. We'll make it hard for everyone on your staff because we'll cancel your show. I can't imagine how Seth Meyers or Jimmy Fallon is feeling right now. Although Jimmy has been doing some things that have caught the ire of some of us over here on the left. Having certain guests on the show, but I can't imagine living and working under those conditions where what we do from week to week can now be dictated by the president, state-run media. It's going to be curious to see how they start handling things on Saturday Night Live and other platforms. What we got here? Text came through. This from AJ. Our larger community needs to rally around the kids. We still need college educated professionals. We're going to have to band together as a community. That's what this movement calls for. This moment calls for. That was a text in response to the defunding that's happening around programs meant to even the playing field for minority groups in college. Changes being made at the federal level. It's trickling down to what's now at the state level. I agree, AJ. I definitely agree. We got to figure out how to provide additional resources to our kids and also create, I guess, I don't know. Find some pathway to create a job economy that doesn't necessarily rely completely on them having a college degree or certain degrees, or at least if there are some in some, if they're already in those studies, we can kind of, you know, work alongside their progress and get them, you know, again, maybe some internships or some programs that help them get into the workforce quicker. Not that that's what everyone wants to do, but whatever else we can do. And again, I am pulling at straws here. I have no idea. I am not one of the people that have been having this conversation in preparation for these changes. It's just been enough just trying to get the kids into school. That's been enough of a hurdle right there. Just trying to get that done. But yeah, I'm definitely interested in, you know, what that looks like and whatever else we can get done to provide some additional resources. Because capitalism ain't it. But yeah, so back to Jimmy Kimmel. I saw the announcement yesterday. Nothing surprises me anymore. Just absolutely nothing, you know. And the way the president talks on social media after these things are done, it removes the question about how this is happening or why it's happening, right? It's not like these shows get canceled and then Trump doesn't say anything. The shows get canceled and he says something that makes it very easy to make him directly responsible for why the show got canceled. It's like he cannot hold back commentary. He's got to speak on it. Oh, great. Jimmy Kimmel's terrible show has been canceled. Da 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 da. Dude, chill out. Chill out. So this is ABC. Trying to remember, is this ABC? This ABC Disney? Who's this? Yes, Disney owned ABC. Oh boy. Things get so muddy. Oh, y'all know how this is for me. Disney, everything's over there. They have all of the IP that I'm interested in, or the majority of it. Oh boy. This is nasty work. This is nasty work. We got to think about not just Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, he's good. I'm sure he'll survive. But his staff, these contracted workers, these people that have been on this show for however long, not thinking it was going to end abruptly, maybe thinking they at least got a couple more years on this thing, but just yanking the rug out from under people. It's almost like it's the same game plan. It's the same playbook with every single thing that this administration has been doing. The destabilization of so many different industries, so many different sectors of business. Just yank the rug out. Just stop it. Just stop the funding. You don't get any more of your funding. It's already started. We're pulling funding back. It's just a wrecking ball. Wrecking ball. Let's see. What up, P-Town? Wonderful Rising Fiancés. About Charlie Kirk, he was a mark. I'm just not sure whose mark. Mm-hmm. Yes. We've been having that conversation from Monday's show. The different things they tried to put on Tyler Kirk. Not Tyler Kirk, I'm sorry. Tyler Robinson. The different identity markers they tried to place on him. You know, he's left-leaning. He is... Actually, before they knew it was him, Nancy Mace was saying some wild transphobic things about who the suspected shooter was. And now that it's basically come clean that it's white-on-white violence, it's alt-right on alt-right violence. Tyler Robinson's a groper. Things are getting a little bit muddy on that side. There's a lot of infighting happening right now. Candace Owens is going at members of the right. And it's not anything I want to be involved in at all. Just even from an analysis standpoint, it's like, hey, you guys want to fight amongst yourselves? Great. Good. Awesome. Leave us out of it. Don't target any HBCUs. Don't target any communities of color. Have your thing. Go over there and have your thing. So Yeah. I'm curious to see how that will continue to play out with the Tyler Robinson situation. They want the death penalty. And they'll probably get it. They'll probably get it. I don't see what's in the way of what Trump wants to get done. You know, all of his wishes get granted. His genie is awesome. But yeah, back to the Jimmy Kimmel cancellation. I want to say this is huge, but in light of all the other things that we've been seeing happening, especially in media, it's kind of just par for the course. It's sad that this is what we have to get used to. That these are just like understood consequences. There's no real pushback, right? It's just the understood consequence. If you get the president upset, he can reach into the private sector and affect so many people's lives. Like, there's no guardrails, any traditional way that we would have expected the president of the United States to handle a situation. All of that's out of the window. I can't imagine a time, and I don't know, where I would think the president would be so concerned with anything in media. Like, you're the president of the United States. You're the quote unquote leader of the free world. Why are you worried about TV? Why are you worried about what people are saying in on the internet about you? Like, you have actual work to do, like serious work to do. But this guy is consumed, always has been, consumed with his image, consumed with what people are saying, consumed with what people are thinking, and always reacts. Always. What this means from, you know, for those people that have been championing free speech to be quiet and see this happen, it's just proof that it was never about free speech for them. Never about it whatsoever. That was not on the table. Wasn't even part of the, wasn't even any true concern for them. They just want to be able to be free, to be racist, to be free, to be sexist, to be free, to continue to push patriarchy and capitalism. We want to be able to be free to say whatever we want. But if you have anything to say against that, any type of pushback, any type of counter, then speech can no longer be free. This is not a free thing. Watch what you're saying. You know, respect what we have going on. You know, respect the conglomerate. It's nasty. That's nasty work. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But what does this mean? What does this mean? I saw someone say online, I think it was a Blurb Without Fear, that whenever Trump does this, whenever this happens, someone progressive or left-leaning gets canceled. They move their show to the internet. Joy Reid, I believe, recently started the show, or not so recently started the show. She's doing like a tour right now. Don Lemon, his show has been doing pretty good. He is now doing his Man on the Street segments out there with the microphone. Mark Lamont Hill, Jemele Hill, Mehdi Hasan. These are people that were on mainstream networks, got canceled for whatever reason, got taken off of their networks for whatever reason, whoever they angered. And now they've gone into on the YouTube and social media and use those platforms. And some would argue that, you know, they definitely have more freedom, certainly. Some would also argue that now they're hitting a wider audience. And I believe to an extent that might be true as well. Because when you're on the traditional networks, there's a certain target demo that's there for that type of news to receive the news, not just from those networks, but in that format, in that particular format that they're used to. The internet has opened that all up when you're independent. There's so much more you can do. And while I think that might feel like a temporary, they might feel like a safer space for them, I do feel like it's temporary. Right? Google owns YouTube, last time I checked. Trump has all of these networks, all these streaming networks, all of these big companies at the table We recently had dinner with them. Was that a month ago? And we had to sit through footage of them going around the table praising him like some medieval king. Like, that's what's happening now. The second that he won, one of the things I was saying actually leading up to the election was like, we're going to lose the ability to protest. We're going to lose the ability to be able to say some of the things that we've been freely saying. And we're now seeing that. And he's a big dog. It's like, I was thinking, you know, man, we've said some controversial stuff on News of My Fiancé, both on X-Ray and on our Monday night show. Like, you know, I could think of many other content creators, left-leaning content creators that I enjoy watching, thinking to myself, man, what's your game plan? What's the thought after this? Like, once you get kicked off of YouTube, how's that going to work? But we've watched big dogs. Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, we've watched people at that level have their shows taken off the air. So to think that, for anyone, to think that maybe, you know, they'll be safe on the internet through alternative streaming platforms, I don't have that confidence. Matt says no guardrails, only pampers with leak protection. Yes, that's what's happening. That's definitely that's definitely what's happening. Just no guardrails. And once you get to the place like that, right? No parameters, no regulations. How do we go back? How do we get back there? Just as the citizenry, you kind of get dulled to this new way of thinking and this new way of operating from the federal government. How do you go back? How do you put the toothpaste back in the tube? C says, what up, C's? Jimmy Kimmel falls in line with President Obama, who joked on him at the correspondence dinner. He started his attack on him from that day. The man's ego cannot handle jokes on him. His narcissism is destructive. Yes. England is literally bowing to him as we speak. Tell me a little bit more about England, C's. But yeah. I didn't realize the affinity. I guess I should have realized the alignment with Obama and how that could definitely keep Jimmy in crosshairs, in Trump's crosshairs. It's just the idea that he has the ability to do this. And he does it so just, you know, frivolously. Like, it's no big deal that you, right here in front of all of us, are attacking free speech. You're attacking the media. You are hampering people's ability to have access to free speech. And that's cool. That's fine. That's why I say, like, I try to remind you guys often not to go back and forth with the opposition, because they don't really mean this crap. They really don't. There's no way you could be for free speech 1 minute and watch the president operate this way without critique from these same free speech warriors. It makes zero sense. Zero. Dib says, Charlie K has a website called, what's that, professorwatchlist.org. In it, he lets university professors that teach CRT and other subjects that he didn't agree with. He lists university professors. He also lists the professors' university emails. Now those professors are getting doxxed and threats. The fascists are running wild. Dibs, he recently, well, not he didn't. He didn't. I can't remember who it was. They created, I think it's the organization with a quote-unquote organization. It's called, like, Friends of Charlie Kirk. And they created another website called Charlie's Murderers. And on that site, they have people from social media. So if you are a content creator and you said anything disparaging about Charlie Kirk, if you are just someone who's on social media and just tweeted or did a thread or did a Facebook post that they considered mocking, or, you know, just in disagreement with who Charlie Kirk was as a person. They're listing you. They're listening. I do believe that site is down now. I can't remember which organization reported on it last week when I first saw it, or maybe it was earlier this week or over the weekend. But yeah, I went to the site, went to go check it out, and it has, so it would have my name. It would have my social media handles, as many as they could come up with, and then screenshots of things that I've posted. And if possible, in most cases, they posted a picture of the person. So something like this happened recently too, and I wasn't sure how to address it, but Candace Avalos has been facing similar, well, that I've been facing similar types of harassment online. And I know they aren't the only one that has been receiving this type of harassment, but it seems like PBX Real, you guys know who I'm talking about, has a particular hard on, has a particular bone to pick with Candace Avalos, and put up several posts targeting her, basically. And it, especially after what happened to Charlie Kirk, in this moment, it felt like is this what we're doing? How do we handle this? How do we go about this? How do we go about checking this and correcting this? Because posts like this actively make people's lives unsafe. Like, seriously. C says, Nexstar, which is an affiliate of ABC, just recently made a bid to purchase another local company that will make its network presence larger than typically allowed. In order to gain approval for that purchase, the FCC has to weigh in. Well, guess who the new director of the FCC is? A Trump hire. Correct. So in an effort to get on the new FCC chair's right side, Nexstar agreed to suspend Kimmel's program from their ABC stations that air in the Midwest. ABC decided to take the next step and suspend him nationally. Thank you for that, C's. So I heard something about this Nexstar deal on the table, I think last week. First time I heard something about it. Just as far as, you know, what this merger could mean as far as their footprint. And then the Kimmel situation happened. So yeah, this, it all makes sense. Again, having these major media organizations and everything from TV to streaming to print media, all bowing to the state. Like, They were dealing with some tough times here. Like, you can't trust it. You can no longer for a very long time, you couldn't trust mainstream media, period. Right? Now it's this much worse. It's considerably worse. So being able to have alternative forms of, you know, of media, whether it's Al Jazeera, whether it's Zateo, some of the other content creators I mentioned before. Used to be able to count on Twitter. Maybe it's Threads now, Blue Sky. We've got to make sure we stay informed. I always encourage people to check out media coverage from outside of the country. See what other countries are saying about us. See how those stories are aligned with each other versus what we're fed here. Just to stay in the know, because we're heading into some very, very, very dangerous water right now. And I'm not really sure of how we're going to be able to navigate it. But yeah, thank you for that additional piece there, C's. Well, yeah, thank you, Dibs, too, about the professorwatchlist.org. That thing's been up for a while. And to have people come out and defending Kirk and you know, again, wanting to turn him into a martyr. And the only way you can do that is by completely disregarding and editing his life. Because the things that he's been responsible for, the things that the emotion that he's created, the thoughts that he's put in the minds of these college kids on these tours, horrendous. Now, from what I understand, there was a petition to stop his appearance at that college, and they had enough signatures to do it. And the staff, faculty, made the decision to invite him against what the students wanted. So, I mean, hey, man, they're going to keep pushing. And no matter what the outcome is, they're going to make sure that we suffer. So got to stay cognizant of that. And you just got to, you know, stay on top of things. Because he is no longer here doesn't mean the work will stop. Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, made a point to say things are going to get ramped up. Not that that's what we need, but I hope a lot more of us are now at least paying attention. ProfessorWatchlist.org is wild work. Seriously wild work. The website is up still. I am currently on it. Thank you, Dibs. And it opens up with a video from Charlie. And the first thing it says on the website, Professor Watchlist, Unmasking Radical Professors. Sign up now. And of course, there's a donate button. Featured professors. Like, what is happening? You can search by school. You can search by name. Submit a tip. This is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Yeah, this is wild. I couldn't imagine being on here. Knowing that people would go to this website and target me just for doing my job. I went to the profile and wow. You click on a professor's name, and each professor has their own page with paragraphs of information on them. Updates. This particular professor data has been updated January 31st, 2024. They have videos of the professors doing their jobs, attending rallies, things like that. This is nasty, nasty work. The search suggestions, racial ideology, protests, LGBTQ, diversity, equity, inclusion, COVID-19, corruption, climate alarmist, anti-Semitism, anti-law enforcement. This is nasty. Oh, goodness. Okay, all right, let me get off this website. This is terrible business. Dibs, I blame you, but not really. Thank you. Oh, man. It got personal. Oh, no. Wow. Okay. Thanks, Dibs. Oh, that's horrible. This is not cool. Not cool. P-Town, his wife can just back down too. We already know she's good with all the money she got. Yeah. There's definitely been a ton of fundraising Erica has been doing through Turning Point USA. There are also, I got to take another look at this. I saw something online a couple of days ago. And if it's online, it's got to be true. No. I saw something online that talked about how Erica and Charlie met and her political affiliations prior to them getting married. And I want to take another look at that, because if all of this stuff is true, wow. It leaves space to embrace a wider conspiracy around all of this. They're already talking about Erica Kirk possibly running as VP. And I know. Depending on the day of the week it is, they throw everybody's hat in that race. It's just a thing that they mention. But yeah. Strange times. Thank you, Dibs, for that. Thank you, P-Town and C's, definitely. We're going to hop into another music break. And yeah, I'll catch you on the other side with the next story. Man, welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. I am flying solo today. MJ is down with the migraine. Shout out to everyone that has been joining us and listening in. Since we started at 7:30, show was over at 9:06. You know the deal. Shout out to P-Town. I missed this text from you earlier. I was asking pretty much after every story today, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? P-Town says, Ambush, we're going to handle this like we always do in our community. We will evolve past this dastardly plan. Evolution is the key. It's going to have to be. You're right. Thank you, P-Town. I missed that text from you with some of the other texts that came in afterwards. But no, that's going to have to be it. It's going to have to be it. We got to figure out what the next phase looks like. We have to have the imagination to see something different. And then, you know, start putting steps towards making that a reality. Matt said, as we were talking about Erica Kirk, I heard Erica Kirk got her skin tightened. Was it tightened or lightened? Lightened just to impress her husband when they first met. Huh. There are so many conspiracy theories. There's so much new information out here about Erica Kirk, especially now that she's decided to thrust herself into the spotlight. So I'm sure we're going to hear even more things about her past we were unaware of. Real quick, a little something that happened here. Trump designates anti-fascist Antifa movement as a terrorist organization. President Donald Trump announced he plans to designate Antifa as a major terrorist organization. And he says this in a social media post. Trump called Antifa a sick, dangerous, radical left disaster. And he stated he would recommend investigating its funders. Senator Bill Cassidy supported Trump's decision, claiming Antifa promotes violence against justice for all. This is exhausting. Antifa, anti-fascist. Why is it a bad thing to be anti-fascist? Why? How did we get here? How are the fascists the good guys? How are the fascists? What is happening? Everything is upside down. It's all upside down. Someone made a point that, you know, there were some football games in which they did a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk. No complaints about that, right? I thought we were trying to not be political. I thought that was it. That's what they told Kaepernick. Keep politics out of our football. Don't be out here kneeling. However, we'll do a moment of silence to this right-wing YouTuber. No guardrails. No guardrails whatsoever. It's ridiculous. We're on a crazy train. Okay. In national, but somewhat local news, what's happening in New York? Governor Hochul endorses Mamdani for New York City mayor after party pressure. New York City Governor Kathy Hochul on Sunday endorsed Democratic nominee Zohran Mamdani for New York City mayor, ending weeks of speculation and criticism over her silence. In an op-ed published in the New York Times, Hochul said that she had frank conversations with Mamdani before offering her support, noting that while they have disagreed on some issues, they share a commitment to affordability, safety, and opportunity for New Yorkers. I heard a leader who shares my commitment to a New York where children can grow up safe in their neighborhoods and where opportunity is within reach for every family, Hochul wrote. She added that she pressed Mamdani on the importance of combating anti-Semitism and ensuring police have the resources they need to keep streets safe and subways safe. The governor also emphasized their common ground in opposing President Donald Trump's policies, particularly his recent deployment of National Guard troops to U.S. cities in the name of fighting crime. Both Hochul and Mamdani have criticized those moves as heavy-handed federal overreach. Hochul has faced intra-party criticism for not immediately backing Mamdani after his upset primary victory, with national figures like Senator Bernie Sanders blasting Democratic leaders for hesitating to support their own nominee. One second. I'm going to come back to that. So both Hochul and Mamdani had an issue, or can have an issue, with Trump sending National Guard troops to U.S. cities. You would think that that would have made it a little bit easier for Hochul to endorse Mamdani earlier than this, considering that Eric Adams is in Trump's pocket. Completely in Trump's pocket. His freedom, physical freedom, him not being incarcerated, depends on his alignment with Donald Trump. And one would think having a mayor in that type of compromising position, also with how far back he is, how low he is in the polls, there shouldn't have been a question for Governor Hochul to come out earlier than this for Mamdani. But, you know, hey, we'll take the ones where we can get them. Bernie Sanders blasting Democratic leaders for hesitating to support their own nominee. Sanders, speaking at a Brooklyn college earlier this month, called Mamdani's campaign a movement and argued that party leaders should be jumping up and down to back him after his surge from just 2% in early polls. Mamdani, a self-described Democratic socialist who has energized a base of young and first-time voters, welcomed Hochul's endorsement. He says, I'm grateful for the governor's support in unifying our party, her resolve in standing up to Trump, and her focus on making New York affordable. He wrote on social media, with the governor now in his corner, Mamdani heads into the November general election against incumbent Mayor Eric Adams, former Governor Andrew Cuomo, and Republican Curtis Sliwa as the polling front runner. I saw something, a statement from Trump, might have just been a tweet or something that some of the outlets picked up, where he's saying it looks like Mamdani's got it. Like, he's kind of just come to that resolve now. There were some offers made earlier, some strategies that he put out there that he was suggesting that the candidates, you know, drop out, like Sliwa should drop out and Adams should drop out to strengthen and embolden Cuomo's ability to compete with Mamdani. Sliwa recently said, absolutely not. I have zero interest in dropping out. Initially, Eric Adams was like, I'm in it for the long haul, but he's polling so bad right now. The only thing that makes sense for him is to drop out, especially because there was an offer to give him a position within HUD. Now, that offer was like 2-3 weeks ago. With the polling where it is now, I mean, Trump doesn't even need him to drop out, honestly. He can just let him just wither on the vine and let that be that. But yeah. Let me see. Oh, P-Town. Trump bogged us down here with trolls. Antifa is not even a people. It's an ideology. Exactly. Fascism is also an ideology, a behavior, one of which is welcomed in the community. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
There's always this recontextualizing of groups, of viewpoints, of perspectives, of ideologies, in order to justify the type of oppression and state-led violence is going to be following. You know, so if we can go ahead and deem Antifa as a terrorist group, if you're wearing all black, you must be Antifa. If you have a mask on, you must be Antifa. And now we can treat you like a terrorist.
Yay.
Woo. Ah, man. We could have avoided this. All of this could not be happening if November was handled properly. You know? Oh, boy. Oh, man. Shout out to Uncle C's and also MJ. They've been working on me, man. Just having more patience with those that didn't have the foresight as to where we would end up based on the decisions they made in November. Golly, that's a tough one. Okay. All right. Well, that was last November. This upcoming November, Mamdani is a front runner. And the reason we keep coming back to New York is because it's a major U.S. city, right? There are things that are happening in New York that can set a precedence for many other cities in many other states. And what we need and what we've always needed was a groundswell of support and understanding around progressive policies. I just saw a piece. I believe it wasn't Vice. I think it was a More Perfect Union, where Bernie Sanders was touring parts of West Virginia with this journalist from A Perfect Union who is from West Virginia. And from what I understand, this state recently just flipped Republican. They've been Democratic for quite some time. They just flipped Republican. And part of that, their reasoning, was because of the things Trump was saying that he was going to do. You know, bring coal back and prioritize the little guy. And, you know, the system's rigged. All the different slogans he was yelling that he did not believe in, that he knew would work, that his team knew would work. That was part of the game plan. And that's what these folks got sold on. That, in addition to feeling disenfranchised and ignored by the Democrats who decided to leave the working class and chase the billionaire class for support. One of the illustrations that were mentioned, but someone was like, you know, fundraising under the Democratic umbrella when you're chasing down, when you're actually supporting the little guy, demands that you are in the office, your team is in the office, y'all are making calls, you're going after these small dollar donations. That's a lot of work when you literally could just hit up, like, I don't know, someone in big pharma, get your support there. Someone in media organization, get your support there. It became so easy to ignore the little guy and answer to the corporations. And of course, that's where we are now. But so Bernie's going around West Virginia having these conversations. I think he had like a little town halls. I think he had like during the course of that coverage, that piece. The More Perfect Union piece, there may be like three little Bernie rallies. I don't want to call them rallies. I guess like town halls. And there were people that attended all three that had voted for Trump. And the consensus was, wow, we agree with pretty much everything that you're saying. And the media painted you in a certain light to make us feel like you were completely against all the things that, you know, were important to us. Just recently, I saw a piece from the Rational National, shout out to David Dole, in which Joy Reid was sitting down with Crystal Ball, and I can't remember her husband's name. But she was basically saying that she got it wrong in 2016, picking Hillary over Bernie. And that Bernie really embodied a lot of the things she was thinking. I forgot how she laid it out as far as her reasons for not supporting Bernie or switching from a more progressive mindset. But she apologized. And while that's cool and all, Joy, it's not like what you were doing was courageous work. Because the way Bernie was subjugated was uniform across all of the network. So this, you were just following orders. You were following orders, just like every commentator, every anchor on every single network at the time. Clip Bernie. yank the rug out from under him. Let's make sure we're covering him in a way that seems divisive. Let's deny the appeal that he had. Bernie was polling behind Clinton, but when it came to a head-to-head poll, Bernie was doing better against Trump than Clinton was doing against Trump, as far as their chances. And for a lot of us, that seemed really obvious. Like, duh, of course, of course. Especially when you add sexism into the, you know, into the equation. Of course, it's going to pull a little bit better. But, you know, seeing Joy Reid come clean now saying, hey, you know, I kind of got it wrong. I'm not giving you any trophies or ribbons for that, because you knew at the time that you were doing it, that it was wrong. And here we are again. I'm not blaming any single person, but the Dems are to blame for where we are. And their behavior around supporting Mamdani is just, it's a caution sign for where we're heading. It's like, whose side are you on at this point? If the people elected Mamdani, they went with him in the primary, he's receiving overwhelming support. For the Democratic establishment not to support him now, there's no clearer point in time when it can be said that they are not here for the people. The people are telling you what they want. The people are telling you who you want, who they want. And your response is, we're just not so sure. You know, I want to stay out of New York business, crap like that. Just terrible. I think that was a quote from like either, was it Cory Booker? One of those two. One of the AIPAC mob. Michelle says, does this mean we should stop going to the Antifa meetings at Antifa headquarters here in Portland? Yes, Michelle, that's exactly what that means. She said, but I just got my shiny new membership card. Anyway, in seriousness, the combination of this and the recent shadow docket ruling setting up the logic for detaining people based on profiling and defiance of the Fourth Amendment is really very scary. So I got to look more into that. But yeah, this current administration has set it up so anybody can get it. Anybody at any given moment can be deemed an enemy of the state. And as we are continuing, as he's continued to introduce National Guards and a ramp up of militarization in our cities, we are just going to get used to this. We're going to continue to just get used to seeing people yanked out of their homes, yanked out of their cars in traffic. And we're just going to wait for the light to turn green so we can go around. You know, maybe look a little bit, but not too hard, because we don't want to get doxxed. These ICE agents are out there now capturing your face, capturing your images, your license plate, because they're now using an app. I wish I could remember the name of the app. I wrote it down somewhere, where they capture your face, bam, puts it right into a database, and they can pull up information on you instantly. So imagine, here we are. You're seeing someone getting picked up by law enforcement, by ICE, by the National Guard. And then they snap your photo. And then it comes up in a database. Oh, snap. Look at this. Ambush made a disparaging post about the president. They can now pick me up. Just like that. Just like that. And because we've already been conditioned to understand that there is no obligation from the federal government to even tell us what they're doing with the people they're detaining, someone can be spirited away, and then that's really it. these are things that we can't forget are not just possible, but are happening right now. While at the same time, you know, the new Jordan Peele movie is coming out this Friday. You know what I'm saying? I still got a shot for a new controller for my PS5 because both of them have stick drift. Like, while all of that's happening, something that I tweet or something that I say on Threads can get me, you know, scooped up at Lloyd Center. Like, this is wild. It's wild, fam. C says, I don't know how folks after the fact can say I didn't know. You know good and damn well what you were doing, Joy. Voters, too. Walking around with your hands covering your ears when the other side is speaking is just willful ignorance. C's, I agree with you. 100%. 100%. Where did this clarity come from, Joy? Where? I can't remember the other sister's name. She was Biden's press secretary. The Haitian sister. I can't remember her name right now. But she's doing a book tour. And, you know, she's letting out some of the secrets. Some of the things that were happening in the... Listen, I don't want to hear... You were there for it. Your job was to get on a podium every single day and speak for the administration. You could have said something. You could have leaked something. Something. Yeah, it's tough, man. It really is tough to listen to people today say, I didn't know. But I will say this to you, C's, and to me, and to many of us that you know, we live in the bubble, right? Our algorithm is feeding us what we want to see. There are a lot of people that are getting the exact opposite. The great majority is getting the exact opposite. They just are. They're not seeing the things that we're seeing. They're not getting the fact that so many people are still watching cable news. That's proof right there. If you're still watching mainstream media, it's called mainstream media. If that's where you're getting the majority of your news and opinions and perspectives from, then yeah, it's kind of weird, unfortunately, for us to expect people to be in a place to be as informed as they should be. And I guess that's where we have to exercise our imagination. Imagine no one knows what you're talking about. You're that voice at the Thanksgiving dinner. Well, actually... And you're ruining everyone's holiday. That's that's us. That's the percentage. That's who we represent. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halen, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Let's see. I think another text here. P-Town says, I think it's time we take their narrative and build with our own hands a house for our communities. Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's right, Ambush. They can individually hunt us now. Yeah, they definitely can. All the different countries that are often targeted in right-wing conversations. Well, you know, you don't want to end up like such and such, like, those countries can enjoy certain freedoms and it's, you know, they're policing their city. Like, this is what we're moving towards. This is what Trump has always wanted. Total control. He is a king. He is a dictator. And this is where we are. Oh, boy. In his third term of his dictatorship. That's right. Third term. When Biden was in office, Trump was still busy. He was still getting things done. So technically, this is his third term. That's how I see it. But yeah, okay. I will update the notes, the playlists here. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and kicking it with me. On days like this, it's so much more important the relationship, our dynamic is, because I'm here solo, you know, kicking it. So all the texts have been really helpful. Thank you guys so much just to help us, you know, get through the show today. And I will make sure all the get well wishes make it back to MJ and get her, you know, back up and running. But yeah, this was News of My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G of Residual Audio. Again, I've updated the music playlist, and Kyle will make sure all the text get in. Let me make sure that's set. Okay, cool, cool, cool. And you know what it is, man. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is indeed a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we're all free. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for Tom Hartman following this programming. And we will see you Monday night at 7. No, at 6:30. From 6:30 to 8:30. Oh, I got a couple more texts real quick. John said, everyone told me I was a crazy conspiracy theory hippie when I warned about this type of surveillance on social media and why I still kind of a ghost on the socials. No, dude. No. You are no parts crazy at all. And I felt the same way. It's like I ended up resharing some of my posts from last year. It was just like, remember I said we wouldn't be able to do this? Remember I said we wouldn't be able to do that? Yeah, well, that's where we are now. Oh, boy. Dib said, what you're talking about is why I won't let my picture at the security check. Wanted to take my picture at the security checkpoint at the airport. Yes. I'm sure there's plenty of other shots of me out there. Yeah, they got what they need. Thank you, Dibs, again. Thank you for the love. We'll definitely hit up MJ, let her know all the love she's getting here. Thank you guys so much. We'll catch you.